Now we're heading to Klondike, near the foothills of the Southern Alps in mid-Canterbury. This is where water is diverted from the Rangitata River for the Rangitata Diversion Race, or RDR, a combined irrigation and power generation scheme. Cosmo's there to see a new state-of-the-art fish screen before it goes underwater. He's with RDR Management CEO Tony McCormick.
We're just below the Rangitata Gorge. We have the Rangitata Diversion Race intake. So this, just a kilometre and a half up from where we are right now, we have our intake and we divert water from the Rangitata River into the canal. A lot of water, 30 cumex is a lot of water. And that water goes right across the Mid-Canterbury Plains and supplies most of the irrigation through the plains here. When it's not being used for irrigation, there's a power station at the end which will run. So we're a multi-use, we run 365 days of the year, and quite frankly, the RDR is the lifeblood of Mid-Canterbury.
Now, I have come up here today because you have built a massive fish screen.
Yep, we've been a year building this facility, which, as you say, Cosmo, is huge. I sort of challenge most people when they first arrive to say, what are you looking at? Because it looks like anything but a fish screen. It's certainly the biggest facility of its kind in New Zealand, and we sort of think probably in the top 10 in the world. And the whole idea of this facility is to keep the fish in the river. And because we divert a significant proportion of the river a lot of the time, we bring in a lot of those fish come into the canal. So this facility is located as close as we could get it to the intake. And with these screens that you can see, we can put all our water through the screen and the fish stay on this side, and there's a channel that returns them back to the river. So we're getting them back to the river as quickly as we can and as safely as we can.
Yes. What sort of fish are you targeting?
All fish, for sure. It's designed and will, I'm sure, help protect both the sports fishery, which is the salmon and trout, mainly salmon, and the native fish, of which there's a variety of species, including the large eels that might have gone up and then are migrating, doing their final migration, whereas the salmon, of course, are doing their first migration. So we get juvenile salmon coming down, and they've been the trigger species, I guess, that have initiated this, the concern by anglers and the community about the demise of the salmon fishery in a lot of rivers, but the Rangitata's not been spared from that. So I call them the trigger species. They're also our sort of target design species. They're the hardest one to design for, so those are the ones that we have designed. You'll see the 2 millimetre gap in our screens and what have you. So all fish species, but I'd have to say the salmon have been the driver.
Once the fish get into this system, how far is it before they end up back in the river? How long does it take?
I'm not sure of that maths, but if they just go with the flow, they're only going to be passing through this facility in less than 2 minutes. Especially the small ones that don't really have the ability to sort of, swim against current, what have you, but larger fish and the natives tend to be a bit more inquisitive and they like to just hang around, so, they're not getting into the race and they're not being lost from their habitat. But eventually, I think everyone will be on their way and back to the river. So, yes, it's only really a matter of minutes.
And then back on their journey.
Yep, back to the river. And unlike the original screen, or the one this is replacing, which is an interesting technology, it's a behavioural screen that creates a bubble curtain across the canal, and the idea was the fish were deterred by that and diverted into the offtake, but that would still let some fish through. This will let no fish through.
One of the steel fish screens is raised above an empty concrete water channel. The screen's big enough to stand in, and its nose is coned like a missile, so water can flow smoothly around it.
We have 7 screens, seven of these cylindrical T-screens are called. The screens are a cylinder, which is a very efficient way of getting a lot of screen area in a short distance. They have brushes, they have fixed brushes, and the cylinder rotates against a fixed brush to keep the screens clean and take the debris off them. It's up in the maintenance position, it's right beside us, we're standing on the walkway, but they'll only be up here on occasion if we needed to do some maintenance, and we expect that'll be very rare. But without the water in it, it's the only time you're going to get from now on to ever walk through this facility and get right up close to them.
So, yes.
Yeah.
So how long are these cylinders?
We're about 80 metres long with the cylinders. Then we've got a further 26 metres of flat screen, because as you can see standing here, the whole channel narrows as we come through the facility. And what we're doing there, as the water passes through the screens, we're trying to push the fish and the sediment down the facility and out the exit back to the river.
So when will the water be diverted through this system?
4 weeks from today, these will all be underwater. Yeah, we've got a very busy period now because this is located. We've been able to build this offline, so the canal is just beside us here. It's about 20 metres away at this location. So next Monday, we turn the water off. We shut down the scheme completely, which is quite a rare occasion, and busy with earthworks to cut through this last bit, what we call a plug at the top. You'll see when we walk up, it's very obvious. So we've got to connect it at the top, let the water in, and we've got to connect it at the bottom to let the water out. We'll fill in the old canal, and this then becomes part of the new canal.
Now, this has cost nearly $18 million to construct. Where does the money come from?
The people that use the water, so predominantly farmers. We have four shareholders. We've got two irrigation companies, Trustpower, because they own the power stations, and they, as it turns out, tend to be the predominant user. They use between 50 and 60% of the water on an annual basis, because in the winter they're just taking all the water for generation. And the council, we supply stock water, and they've all contributed to this cost. So yes, there's no government money or anything. It's all user pays. You know, the privilege of taking water comes at an expense.
Gosh, and it's all for the fish.
It is. Yep, it is targeted, you know, solely at protecting the fishery. And yeah, it's what we need to do to be able to continue to take water from the river and have the privilege of taking and using that water.
Has everything gone to plan?
The build has gone incredibly well. The earthworks, the concrete construction has been amazing. We opted to go a lot of precast. You see all these big panels, they're all constructed in Christchurch and trucked down. So our original program was to be completing this before the irrigation season, but the design, we spent a lot more time than we'd intended just making sure that the design was right, especially hydraulics. But the contractors haven't sat back on that. They got stuck in and did a fantastic job.
Have we got any down below with the slide gate open still? We could go inside. Thank you.
Now, you've got a team of Australians here because they are the ones that designed and built the fish screen.
Yeah, the main components, the real shiny bits, I tend to call them, were built in Victoria in Australia by AWMA. So this is Craig and Tim.
What are you doing here today?
Oh, basically just running through, obviously with the COVID, we haven't been able to get over and look at the site with water going on site next week, is it?
Well, we start the cut over next week.
Really desperately wanted to see the equipment before it got wet, you know, make sure we can make any minor changes or modifications while we can.
What were your first impressions coming up here?
Oh, well, you know, excellent. Yeah, it's very impressive. Yeah, we've seen lots of photos, but to see it in real is quite a sight.
This must be quite an achievement for you.
Yeah, yes. It's not the first project I've been involved with, but certainly a very exciting one and huge for us. Proportionally to our sort of budget and everything else, this is huge. The cost of this, you asked earlier about who pays, the cost of this facility has doubled our annual charges to all of our customers. So it's hugely significant.
Now we are heading down to the base of the screen, which is about, 5 metres under the steel platform.
So this is who we should talk to, Brett, standing with his arms folded.
Brett Kelly is Managing Director of the Australian business that has built the fish screens. After all the COVID travel delays, he's pleased to finally be here.
It's great. Making them is great, testing them at the factory, but it doesn't ever compare to coming to site and seeing them all installed in their full array. It's very impressive.
Yes. How challenging has it been for you to design and build this fish screen system?
This is one of the biggest fish screen systems of its type in the world. So from that point of view, it was a pretty big task, but it's all come together pretty well. So
yes,
we didn't have an opportunity to come over here for... the last time was it 12 months ago or
it was
another job we came over for, so yeah, it was 2 years. It's been over 2 years since we've been here on site. So last time I came there was nothing here, and now it's basically all finished.
Tony was saying that a lot of this was engineered and built in Australia?
All of it was engineered and built in Australia, and assembled. Yeah, we didn't supply the concrete and the steel. No, it's all been designed and built over there and shipped over. Yeah.
So I guess this has been all about collaborating with different teams.
Yeah.
To pull it together.
Yeah, because it's been very, very important that when we're operating out of Australia and we're doing a project over here in New Zealand, a lot of stuff doesn't have precedent. So it's not just a matter of saying we're doing the same thing over and over again and everyone knows what they're doing. There's a lot of new stuff here. So to do that, we need a really good partnership between everyone, and we've certainly had that. It's been a great project to work on.
We head down to the concrete floor of the construction site that will be permanently submerged in water once the fish screens are lowered.
You can see what looks like a canal, and it will be the canal coming into the facility. And up right through there is the canal with the water in. So we've got to take out that plug of material
and bring
the water in here. That sounds easy.
And it will all go through the cylinders.
Yep. I use the term percolate because it is really low velocity as it comes through, because that's the whole concept, I guess. We get the fish won't be drawn to the screens or stuck on the screens with the water coming through it, so it comes through very slowly and there's a strong sweep flow through the facility to keep them going.
So in theory the fish won't be harmed at all as they pass through?
No. You can see how wide it is here. I mean, most of them won't even interact with the screen. So yeah, I'm 100% confident fish won't get through, and very confident they won't get harmed.
There must be two of the key objectives.
Yep, our consent has conditions that specify velocity, very low velocity through the screen. Very complex to measure all the velocities, water velocities through this facility. And then testing that the fish are not harmed is going to be very challenging too. We're still refining that process, so we somehow need to capture fish that have come through the facility, and we'll be doing close examinations for fin damage and that sort of thing. We'll be doing that using test fish. We'll release fish and then capture them so that we know the condition of them when we release them. So, imagine releasing 500 fish here and then trying to capture as many as we can. I'm not concerned about capturing them all. We just need to capture enough to say this is a good sample.
And will you be working with Fish and Game?
Yep. They've been a great support. And the anglers who... sort of initiated this with their discontent, I guess, with what we had before in the salmon fishery. So they've all been with us on the journey, and right now, as we're trying to refine this fish capture, very involved with us. So, it always surprises me how little is known when you really need to know it about what fish want and how they behave, especially these young juveniles. They continue to be a little bit of a mystery of just how they behave, but I think the technology we've adopted here will deal with all those issues.
Tony McCormick from Rangitata Diversion Race Management. Cosmo was also talking to Brett Kelly and Craig Ross from Orma Water Control Solutions.